Alana, would you please introduce yourself and tell us what you do?
Sure. Alana Gombert. I'm the GM of the IEB Tech Lab. I run all advertising, digital advertising standards. So I run a team of product and engineers that build tools and technology for ads online.
Fantastic. Eric?
Eric Iverson. I'm the CIO over at CAA, Creative Artists Agency. I've been there since October. Prior to that, I was at Sony Pictures Television and was there for 17 years.
Fantastic. Zach?
Zach Lebeau, CEO and founder of Singular DTV. We're building an entertainment economy on with blockchain technology. We're headquartered in Zurich with offices in Shanghai, Hong Kong, New York, Los Angeles, and Puerto Rico.
Awesome. I got married in Puerto Rico. Love that sound. I love that island. Okay. How many people know about blockchain? Raise your hands. How many people think that they really know about blockchain? How many people know the technology behind blockchain? Ooh, okay. How many people would be willing to get up here and talk to us about the blockchain? Oh.
Oh, there you go, right there.
Oh, Turner.
He's pretty smart.
Yeah. My seat at the deck. So, all right, it's obvious. Everybody's heard about it, right? Oh, Bitcoin, blockchain, I think we need to also, we should probably level set and at least get our minds wrapped around what this technology really is. And I know everybody's been working in it. Maybe we'll start with you, Zach, and maybe you can give us an overview of the technology without the mind-numbing.
I'll try.
Thank you.
So the revolutionary thing about blockchain technology, it's all about the consensus algorithm. So the consensus algorithm allows the distributed ledger, that is the blockchain, for everyone to have the exact same copy of that ledger. So obviously, transparency and immutability are two of the cornerstones of blockchain technology. Another really revolutionary thing about blockchain technology is the convergence of data and network to occupy the exact same space, because that doesn't exist right now the way the internet and software systems are engineered. And what that basically means is, it's the convergence of data and network is like, okay, so you're a merchant selling your wares on Amazon. You've been there for 5 years, you have a reputation, you have a history, people know who you are. That is your digital identity. But if you go to eBay, for example, you can't bring that digital identity with you. You have to start from scratch. That's because there's no convergence of data and network on the internet, and the blockchain solves that problem.
So, and because also this is my limited knowledge, and feel free to chime in and tell me I'm an idiot. But my concept always was, it's happened before. My concept also is the way that everything happens now, it is one to many. Everybody receives a copy, but we've distributed 10,000 copies of this same file. But this is a one-to-one relationship, meaning that every single one of those 10,000 is inherently ledgerized, tokenized. I'm sure there's some lingo behind that, but it's a one-to-one relationship with that exact piece, right? So that could impact almost anything across the chain from inception, distribution, all the different players. I mean, is that too simple?
I'm not going to tell you you're an idiot. It's like DNA replication, right? At the end of the day, you have data on each block. I think I just spent an hour with the holding company earlier today, and there's this big confusion. I think that was a great explanation, by the way, between Bitcoin and blockchain. Everyone's like, blockchain, Bitcoin. Like, no. The way I describe it to lay people, it's a place where you store data, and all of the things that were just described are attributed to that storage space, period, full stop. You know, there are ways to create scripts on top of that to actually create software and smart contracts and what have you. But at the end of the day, blockchain, if you think about it from a really basic level, it's a distributed place to store things in a ledger, period, full stop. The rest of it, all of the things that are around it are the important bits, but that's it. And then you build from there, right? You build on top of it with smart contracts. You think about the currencies, Ethereum is a good example, right? Bitcoin, Litecoin, insert coin here. So there's building blocks of technology that you can think about within the blockchain spectrum.
Is finance the only place that blockchain's really made a palpable impact? Is the rest of it all theory?
To start, I mean, I went to a MIT blockchain, well, at MIT symposium where we talked about blockchain, and the MIT Media Lab guys were there, and everybody in the room was from a bank, right? Every single bank, and telecom, I'm sorry, telecoms too. They had 50 people, like, en masse, listening to these conversations, right? There were no ad people there at all. There was, for the advertising for my world, for ad tech, I think it was me and someone from Group M, right? So I think we're learning about it in the advertising space, and I'd love to hear about what you guys are doing as well, because it's very different from what we're doing.
Well, you know, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, sure, which isn't a lot right now. What I would say is that, you know, as Guy and I talked about today, that we actually talked about this as an important topic for us to talk about. And what's interesting to me, I like that you brought up the banking example. At least from all my study of it, it seems like that is like the major adoption of it. And if you take a quick step back, which is also going to be a part of the same ecosystem, you talk about what cloud computing has done. What's interesting, if you take those, let's say, the banking sector and media and entertainment, almost like on opposite spectrums of two relatively large emerging technologies. So media and entertainment, I would say in a lot of ways, we led the way in a lot of what was happening in cloud technology. And it was kind of perfect for us because, like, it was, there was, in certain parts of the supply chain, you could take some risk and it was okay, and we had huge storage problems, and it was really well suited for the problems that we had there. And then there's a bunch of other, the reason why you have a metadata madness ongoing symposium is because we actually have a lot of messier data. In some ways, you could probably say the financial industry is a little the opposite of that, right? I mean, they have like highly risky bits but highly organized data with a lot of transaction management on it. And then Bitcoin came along, and I think that they had to address it. There's in the whole kind of concept of the exchange of value, we exchange value in a lot of ways, which is, I think, is awesome why you're on the panel and talking about advertising, which is actually a really interesting space for that to be in. But if you look at other parts of the supply chain, whether it's the exchange of data or the exchange of rights, when you get into smart contracts, we can talk about the real major challenges on that. I'll tell a funny story in a minute. I think there's a lot of opportunity there, but we as an industry, I don't feel like are talking about it that much yet.
I mean, look,
you're talking about it a lot, but so that we're glad you're here. But.
Yeah, we're actually launching 4 applications this year that deal with some very interesting and pain points in the entertainment industry. So.
Well, let's talk about, look, we're talking about relevance and impact, right? So let's talk about relevance and where, it's almost like we've been through a lot of emerging technologies, we've been through unique identifiers, we've been through a lot of interesting concepts in media and entertainment that were totally off of the radar, and we're over here waving, saying, hey, you need to look at this, and then the aha moment comes, oh yeah, maybe we should go look at that, and then it kind of starts the swell. But there are also technologies that had come, are quasi-embraced, and then kind of drifting, like saying, all right, where is the relevance? What do you feel in the media and entertainment space are the relevant pieces that blockchain will impact?
So I'll talk about what we're doing, at least with it in our working groups. Yes. So the reason why we became interested in blockchain initially was because we are building a supply chain protocol for advertising. And that's kind of what we do at Tech Lab, and also with TAG, which is a trustworthy accountability group. Lots of acronyms. And we're thinking about, okay, how do we store the data? What does it look like? How do we think about this in the construct of technology? And everyone kept saying, blockchain. And I'm like, okay, let's explore it. Are we going to use it for that? I don't know yet. We're still thinking and exploring and testing. In the meantime, this is about 6 months ago. In the meantime, there are a number of startups that popped up in our world. A company called NYIAX, which the NASDAQ backed an ad exchange. It's called NYIAX. They trade contracts, right? So blocks of impressions. It's not RTB, it's more like direct deals. And they're trading it right now within the NASDAQ construct, right? So that's interesting to us. It's in our space. There's a company called MadHive. They're a blockchain DMP for the most part, right? So data. AdChain, same thing. They're tracking fraud in the blockchain ecosystem for advertising. So we're getting inbounds from all these new member companies that are popping up out of nowhere, which are great. So we have to, from my standpoint as the standards body, we have to make sure we address it and we understand it and we embrace these new people into the fold.
Yeah, I just would add, I spent a lot of time working with Crackle in my previous job, and which was pretty heavily in the programmatic ad buying and selling space. And I think that's a really great use case that probably needs to be explored, because that's typically what's happening at the programmatic level, which is, you know, hey, I made the exchange, I made the buy, what were your impressions? Did I you're truing up on that.
And the issue with the programmatic piece right now, at least technology-wise for blockchain, is there's a technology limitation, right? So writing to the blocks and actually getting the data back and forth in real time, no one's cracked that yet. Everyone's working on it in our world. Like, there's a lot of startups that are working on that problem on the algorithm side, but no one's actually cracked it yet.
And you're dealing with, you're going to be dealing with large volumes of transactions, right?
Which the problem is similar transactions, right? It's the same type of transactions just over and over and over again. Yeah.
Zach, what's your relevance on your side? You're working on a distribution piece, right?
Yeah, distribution for sure. But, you know, one of the most aspects of what we're developing right now and are just about a month and a half, 2 months away from launching is our rights management gateway, which basically provides an interface that connects with the blockchain that allows producers, executive producers, entertainment investors, filmmakers to control and manage the rights and revenue and royalty flow of their IP.
Interesting.
So yeah, and that would be when, you know, we were kind of talking beforehand, which is, I love that you're kind of on the pioneering side, which is fantastic. So, you know, rights is an area that I've spent a good part of my career in, and you know, you get into some, like, and I'll tell a couple funny stories, like real challenges in the rights space. So that would be one I hope you succeed. I think that it's a real messy space. A funny story that I'll tell, which is just do with the exchange of value between two entities. I'm going to pick two entities inside the same company. So you take like a big company like Sony Pictures, and they have a networks channels business, but they also have a very large television distribution business. And the truth is, one is actually licensing to the other. So, because if you can imagine, like, the distribution businesses need to make as much money they can licensing their titles. And the network channels business is an ad revenue, subscription-based business. And they're trying to license content in. And so I went to one of our remote offices once and was having a conversation. They were talking about it was difficult getting the licensed titles to them. And I'll break this into two pieces. One is just actually the title itself,
right,
and in the workflow. And the second was kind of the rights tracking. So on the title, we was listening to the problem. They're like, tell me about your workflow. And it was like, their workflow was that every time a license deal would happen, they'd go onto paper, and then someone in that group would get the paper, then they would go, and I'm not making this up, look up all the titles on IMDb, and then go re-register those into the broadcast management systems, right? And literally, I could see the people up there have a database with like a world record amount of metadata and information all about the exact titles that they're licensing to the people one floor below them. And, right? So this is going on. So we have all the data inside our company, like with or without blockchain or whatnot. We literally, if we could just like pass that through. So they're like, they'll never give us the data. And it was like, I manage the system that it's in. Yes, they will. We took the elevator up and we said, would you give them the data downstairs in the facility? Sure, they never asked for it. So so I went down. Now, I only use that as an example, I'll just use kind of passing the title and data, the metadata information on it, blockchain could be another technology that you could use probably to exchange the value on the distributed. I'm just talking about that within a company, but when Sony Pictures does distribution of content, they're doing it across all parties out there, right? But if the systems and the processes inside the company are not even able to accept traditional technology, actually moving to a more rigorous format is a little bit more challenging. So that's one of the things I've kind of seen. So I'll use that as part one. Just as kind of from my experiences, and I know, Guy, you've had some, it's like trying to deal with some of these supply chain things. Have you guys thought through some of like the clever ways of trying to make that happen, or maybe you just have a totally different way that you're approaching it, or it's top secret and you're not going to tell us today?
We're in stealth mode.
It is top secret, but I'll tell you anyway.
Don't tweet this.
No, you know what? We're sort of in our own development bubble, actually. So most of our research is in development right now. Really, it centers primarily around smart contracts, putting together smart contract systems, and finding ways to embed tokens with functions and programs. So when you tokenize IP, for example, it becomes very easy and very efficient to be able to manage a whole number of things and functions, rights and revenue being one of them.
So it's so great that you said that. So does everyone know what a token is?
Yeah, I was going to say.
You can say no. You can be
token
like,
means something totally different in California. I'm sorry. Oh, sorry.
And also in Colorado. That's true. Different. So basically, this is an interesting contract for ads as well, right? You can get something for something, right? And so I'll give you an example. I have a Coinbase account, and I love it. Because whenever I refer someone to my Coinbase account, I get a little fraction of Bitcoin as a present. I love presents, right? So at the end of the day, a lot of our ad folks, and this is probably the same construct, they're building tokens in the blockchain systems to give rewards over to either consumers or to their partners to do a deal or to in exchange for something, be it data, be it what have you, right? So that's a really important construct for, it's not currency per se, like it could be Bitcoin, it could be something else. But it's an important value exchange that is really hard to do right now in our current technology stacks, be it ads, be it what have you, content distribution. So that's one. And then two, does everyone know what smart contracts really are?
Please tell us.
Blank faces. Okay, I'm going to let you describe that because you're the expert.
Set them up.
Yeah, but it's super simple. It's just an automation of a agreement.
Right.
It's a script. Yeah. Like, so we have a, like, think about like code in your brain. It's a script. You write it, and it executes on top of blockchain. Right? And we have a couple of these examples. We're actually running some in kind of a vacuum at Tech Lab. But like, if you hear a smart contract, think of a program. Yeah. Period.
Well, and I think that, you know, that'll be, again, spending a lot of time in the rights management space, which, again, I'll root for you on it. It's spending way too much time with attorneys. They're wonderful. But incredibly creative people in the years that he was doing it, that the contracts were changing all the time. So they were redefining, or I'll call it say that not only the contracts, the rights themselves, having to redefine the rights. So that's not that I don't think it's an impossible problem to solve, but there are things that as you come up with these clever technologies, they always end up with some like unanticipated headwinds on things, you know, like where. Like as we moved into some of the over-the-top spaces, like all the studios, like all of a sudden had to go redefine all of the rights that they had, and did they have digital rights or not have digital rights, and that. And this happened multiple times. So that's kind of an interesting thing when you get back to the ledger, but the immutable ledger, it's like, okay, but now we have to rewrite the ledger all the way back 15 years ago.
And immutable means you can't change it.
Pardon?
Immutable means you can't change it. Again, I see the faces like, what?
I mean, but the idea is also with the smart contract, can't you change those terms? And can't they just be added to the chain? And
you can change the terms, but you can't change the
block.
You can't
redefine the block. So that's a change in the world of rights. The blocks are have been redefined by the industry.
Yeah, we can give you an example. Silk Road. Does everyone know what Silk Road is? There's nodding finally. Everyone's like, yes, that we know about. So for those, like the one person in the room that doesn't know what it is, it was a site that sold drugs and other sundry items in the black market. And their currency that they used was Bitcoin for the most part. There is other things too, but Bitcoin and blockchain were, you know, a big part of the construct. Fast forward, they got caught, bad things happened, the FBI, Interpol, everyone got involved. There were a couple of FBI agents who took money from Silk Road. Right, took money from the black Bitcoin accounts and put it into their accounts, and they didn't realize that Bitcoin is fully transparent. So like you could follow the money all the way to the FBI agent. Whoops, right? That's kind of, think of it that way.
That's huge, though. I mean, look, you know, I'm a big proponent of the next age, right? We're moving from the information age into the age of transparency, right? Where everything is transparent. I mean, this seems to be the ultimate transparent piece because there's no funny stuff, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's, I am a big believer in what the technology could do for the industry, just for those reasons. So you take something like the last World Cup with the 30,000 illegal streams of it,
yes,
which is a crazy number, right? But there's a lot of other problems in the whole ecosystem, but that's, the fact is someone is redistributing an asset
right.
they don't have the right to, right? So I think there's some real value on that if you could connect all the dots. So that's kind of cool. I do think that, you know, there's some of these interesting problems that we, may be able to achieve solving them through kind of the tech. I mean, one that I might just throw out to get the wheels spinning a little bit might be, I think ticketing is fascinating. You know, if you think about that, a lot of people want to have a ticket and they want to pass it on to another person or resell it or those things, and counterfeiting of tickets is certainly a big problem. It's not good for the industry, but that's actually part of the entertainment industry.
Sure.
Or maybe it would be really interesting if you did like a theatrical release and you sold a ticket, but that ticket now has more value because I've owned it. And certainly you've seen like combinations of like theatrical and discounts to Blu-ray, and maybe that actually increases the value of a theatrical ticket and whatnot. So I think there are plenty of opportunities for it. I think getting that that right space where it's like the, it's not overly complicated workflows seems like where, and it is multiple parties in the ecosystem, seems like a sweet spot, but you guys know more than me because you've spent more time on it.
Well, it's kind of interesting because you can take a ticket, you can digitize it, you can tokenize it, and you can program it to receive the revenue of what you're spending it on. So, you know, all the time right now we're telling people to go watch this movie or this television show pretty much just out of the goodness of our hearts to share it. But if they're tokenized and we hold those tokens and we tell someone to go watch this show and they do it, then they're putting that pro rata proportion of revenue into the token that we're holding. So that's an interesting attribute.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think like Ultraviolet or any of the digital copy bits start to fall into that same thing, which is ownership and did I get it? Can I transfer it on? And
yes.
Could that be in the supply chain? So you could then take a step back and it's like, well, we could solve those problems without blockchain. It seems like, and I think that's one of the questions we'll ask along the way. It's like, wow, blockchain is a real interesting way of solving that problem. Then the question is it the better, faster, cheaper way of solving it, which I think is what you're struggling with, but it does seem like we should talk about it.
And the cheaper part's hard too, right? So I'm not sure if it's cheaper yet, but like I think that figuring out if this technology fits into our world, and you know, the banks have figured it out. Like all the banks at least have an incubator of the blockchain instantiation, and a lot of them have filed for patents, right? Including a friend of mine who's built some pretty interesting things. Like so, that ship has already sailed.
Are they top secret? Can we talk about them?
I don't know. They're patents. So you can read them, like right? So no. But I can. Yes. So the banks, if they're slow moving, they are, I used to come from banking, if they're a very slow moving entity, if they've all doubled down on a new technology, it's an interesting to me.
We should pay attention to it. Absolutely. Well, and look, we have lived through our share of technological innovations, especially in the media and entertainment business, right? Some of which were, you know, it took a long, you know, IMF is a great example. IMF took a long time. It's being embraced in certain.
But it's here.
It's here, right? It's being used and it's practically being used. And ultimately, this is also tying together the morning and into this, the metadata track. It is that AI. Right now, there are so many manual processes still associated where it's, you think that it's digital, but it's not really digital. It's like, oh, we have to deliver this. We have to push that button. We talked about the one-button transcode forever, right, where it's going to put it into 8,000 different formats for us with one button push. Now we're talking about the no-button transcode, right? We don't even want to have it. We don't even want to have to push the button. And I think blockchain is an enabler to that. We only have like 6 minutes, right? Are there questions? Is anybody
Can I throw out one?
Yeah,
one
please, last? Please.
So just and maybe this gets in the data space, but one I think it would be very interesting from a pro privacy and pro talent would be. I know that one of the conversations around blockchain that's been very popular is what it might do in medical records. Now, we'll put that a whole aside. That's a good drinking debate. I don't know if that's a good idea or bad idea. But we have in the industry, we have a very similar problem when you think about it is kind of talent records as they float around. We represent talent, but then their earnings need to move on to guilds and they need to get paid.
Yes.
And they need to get residual effects on things.
Yes.
Like that. So connecting the dots on that throughout the industry seems like a good thing and may allow us to also provide better privacy and security around their data.
Well, and
I think that would be a good thing, but I think it requires exploration.
Sure. We had a question right up here in front. Here, I'm just going to do the Phil Donahue. Bald Phil Donahue.
Hi, my name is Will.
It's going to be okay.
There'll be drinks later.
I know, right? I'm Will from Showtime. It's interesting, ironic. Actually, I was looking at a YouTube video of blockchains yesterday, and they were talking about bitcoins, and the purpose for bitcoins is because they kind of wanted to get away from the central banking. So if banks start adopting, you know, blockchains, then it kind of, you know, how can we govern the malice that might come from that?
So there's two different, it's a really good question. So, and I've been thinking about this a lot in the construct of currency, right? So there's two things that you said. One, that, you know, it's decentralized, and the reason why Bitcoin, Satoshi Nakamoto is the one who wrote the paper on Bitcoin. You guys should read it. It's not that long. And it kind of describes why he did it, or she. We don't know who it is. There's two things. One, the banks are focused on blockchain for their private networks. It's more about storing stuff in their world, right? I got into an argument actually at the MIT symposium with a banker. I won't say which bank, because you know, there's 70, I think it's 70 million, I just looked at this last week, it could be wrong, so don't quote me on this. There are 70 million working age individuals in the world that are unbanked. They don't have access to banking, like traditional banking. So what happens if you bring them into the fold in Bitcoin? Forget the banks for a second, they're over here. Bitcoin by itself, accessible by an app on your phone, and you can transact that way. That's a massive shift, right? So when you think about it, like think about it in ways of how is it installed? Is it really a public blockchain, or is it really just, in the bank's example, a way for them to store stuff in their own world?
Well, and the other sorry.
Yeah, I'm the rookiest on the panel, so I don't know why I'm talking. But what I would say is that, it seems like the banks are considering, and certainly what we're going to explore in is more of like the private blockchain, because blockchain is a technology. You could decide your implementation pattern for that. My guess would be is that the planet's going to see all three, which is public, private, and semi-public. I think it's going to see all three of them, my guess. That's a hard one bet to win. So I think the question will be is which one will prevail. I think, it's an interesting governance question, which I do see written about a lot, which is, you could make some arguments to get Bitcoin. If something went wrong, who do I talk to, right?
So, well, that's right. It's the open source community.
We're all saying that it's really going to, it's all going
to
work, right?
This also speaks to disruption, though, in a sense right. that think of all the great, look, I was the, I did the Second Screen Society, right? It's, two guys in their mom's basement in their underwear saying, we're going to take down Turner, right? Now, it evolved into what is now the Second Screen space, and OTT evolved into practicality. The big studios adopted it. The big networks adopted it. Right, and started putting their twist on it, but ultimately the technology is agnostic. I mean, what you're doing also, because remember, OTT was great also for the independent person that couldn't get a deal, couldn't get it out there, and was like, I just want people to see this, and they weren't even necessarily concerned about the money. But I mean, that's the distribution model that you're helping proliferate as well, right? I mean, it's the idea that I can go in here and play in a system that's going to pay me fairly. I'm not going to get squished or stepped on, and ultimately I'll know what's going on with my content and my money.
Yeah, the distribution. What we're working on with distribution, it starts with the rights revenue royalty management flow, because once you incorporate that into a peer-to-peer decentralized distribution portal, you're talking non-regionless, universal. International. You're not talking about territories anymore.
Global economy.
It's a whole different paradigm. You're not talking about all these intermediaries and gatekeepers in China that are keeping so many different foreign interests out. So it's very inclusive.
That's a huge point. Sorry.
One more quick question.
So I have one comment and a question for Zach. My comment is on the financial services. You said they're adopting. They're adopting not because they want to, is because they're getting challenged, right? I mean, if they don't do it, very soon the very reason they exist for that transaction fee that they make is going to go away with the peer-to-peer.
Totally, I totally agree. Interest rate arbitrage.
Financial services is going through
they're
the
protecting
same thing.
Themselves.
Yeah, what Walmart and Macy's is going because of Amazon, right? So I think that's what's happening with that. My question to you, Zach, is that actually two questions. One is that, what technology of blockchain are you using? Is it Ethereum? Is it Bitcoin-based? Is it Litecoin? It's one of those latest one. And the second thing is that in terms of the technology challenge, right, in terms of, ever-increasing speed, storage and ever-increasing processing power that you need to process a blockchain, have you solved those problems and what has been the challenge you want to share?
So, we've been doing what we've been doing since late 2013. We attempted to build on the Bitcoin blockchain, but it was too simplistic. We knew Ethereum was coming. Ethereum is a smart, programmable protocol. It is built so that you can actually create complex applications on top of it. So we're building on Ethereum. As far as the scalability, number of transactions issues, there's a number of our applications that are a hybrid of decentralized computing systems, blockchain tech, and centralized. And until the scalability issue gets solved, we'll have to work under this hybridized model.
Excellent. We're out of time. One question. One quick question. Who has the microphone? Where are you? Andy, I know this. I want you on tape.
So
So it was announced at Cannes. I was in Cannes, and the Comcast announcement came out. We've been talking to a few people about that. I can't really comment any more than that. But I think look, it's an interesting, again, it's another partner, a large partner, who's doubling down on a new technology. And I think what's critical, you know, as mentioned before, this thing is global, right? I saw Reed from Netflix talk about his plans, and he was questioned at an Andreessen Horowitz conference about, what about all these U.S. companies? You know, do you worry about them? He's like, I just built a global network infrastructure, Transcom, and I have hubs in every single large major city around the globe. Drop mic, right? This can help compete, right? This is an interesting construct, maybe.
All right, we're over. I'm sure we could sit here and talk, but we do have to,
drinks.
Drinks and or on the break. I mean, I know we have one more session, but I hope this was informative for everybody and at least got a little bit of knowledge around blockchain and what it's going to do for M&E. So a warm thank you to our panelists. Thank you. Thank you so much.